But we're continuing on in our study in the book of Proverbs. If you'll turn there to chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to consider the first 10 verses of chapter 4. And you know, I think this is about the third message in Proverbs, and I've been thinking about the studies that I've been doing in this book, and I realized it finally dawned on me as I studied these scripture passages in chapters 1, 3, and 4. That's the ones we've looked at so far. Look at chapter 4 tonight. And it finally dawned on me, you know, God's wisdom is one of the most important things that you and I as believers can possess. It is. And, you know, there's a lot of wisdom out there. You know, we got the wisdom of the world. We have the unsaved who are celebrated for their wisdom. But they don't have God's wisdom. They don't have the wisdom that the indwelling Spirit of God can provide you and I. And, brother, sister in Christ, tonight, I think, in this chapter, in the first 10 verses, we're going to see how important the wisdom of God is. And the fact, the importance it plays in our lives as believers. So we'll read the first 10 verses of chapter 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And we'll stop right there. I know you noticed that the last four, five, six verses down there that wisdom is referred to as her and she, and we'll be discussing that as we go along in this chapter. It's rendered in the feminine in the original Hebrew. And first of all, in verse 1, we see that Solomon, in verse 1, is instructing his children. He says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. This is a father, Solomon, is asking his children to pay attention to what he is teaching them. And I think it's interesting, there is a New Testament verse in Ephesians chapter 6, and you remember that verse, that says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's a New Testament verse that coincides with many verses in the book of Proverbs. And we see in the book of Proverbs and the New Testament that the primary teacher of spiritual truth in the family is the father, is dad. Now, this doesn't mean that mother can't teach her children spiritual truth. What it does mean is that the father in the family is the principal teacher of spiritual truth to his children, to his sons and his daughters. And God has given each husband or each father in the family the responsibility to do that teaching. Now, we have here tonight a number of people who are have children, and most of your children are adult children. Some of them are married. Some of them have children of their own. And you say, well, you know, I can't teach my children anymore. Well, brother, sister, Christ, I don't believe that. I believe you can teach your adult children. See, the problem is with the younger children, you could teach them and you can make them obey you. The adult children, you can teach them, but, you know, you can't force them to obey you like you could with it when they were younger. I shouldn't say force. That's not the right word. But you understand that here in chapter 4, verse 1, the father, Solomon, is teaching his children. That is a responsibility God has given fathers in the family, and we as believers should take that responsibility. You fathers should take that responsibility seriously, because it was God, the Holy Spirit, who's revealing it to you, to us. But Solomon continues in verse 2. He's again addressing his children. He says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Good doctrine means positive teaching. And don't turn your back on my instruction. Don't forsake my law. Don't turn my back. Solomon is exhorting his children not only to receive his teaching, but he doesn't want his children to turn their backs on what he is teaching them. Now, what he is teaching them is spiritual truth, God's truth. And Solomon is telling his children, you know, son, daughter, don't turn your back on my teaching. I'm giving you good doctrine. I'm giving you positive teaching. You know, that's what Solomon is saying to his own children here in verse 2. It says in verse 3, "For I was," he reminds his children in verse 3, "for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." And in this verse, in verse 3, Solomon is referring to the time when his father taught him. And of course, Solomon's father was King David, who was teaching him. And Solomon was taught by his father in a very warm, a very loving way. And one commentator said, when parents teach their children, the best things are transmitted mainly by personal influence along the channels of affection. Personal influence along the channels of affection. In other words, we teach our children in an informal and loving way. You know, most of the time parents don't take their children, put them in the chair and say, "Listen up, here we're going to open the Bible up today, and here's what we're going to learn." Many times that instruction for children comes in an informal setting. It comes in day-to-day activities. A child may ask a question, well, Dad or Mom, why does God do this? Why did God do that? And you have a chance as a parent to teach your children spiritual truth on that occasion. And in verse 4, Solomon continues that thought about his father. In verse 4, he said, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Retain my teaching. The word retain here means to remember and not forget. Some of the things that you and I were taught as young children, we've never forgotten, have we? I remember when I was a little kid, my mom took me by the hand right in front of our grandmother's house. And she said, she took me to the side of the street, and she said, "Now, Earl, when you cross the street, you be sure to look both ways. You look toward the left." I looked toward the left. "Look toward the right." "Look toward the right." "Do you see any cars coming?" I said, "Uh-uh." "Okay, now we can cross the street." As I recall, I think we walked across the street and then we walked back, I think, as well as I can remember. But to this day, when I cross the street, I look both ways. Not only for my self-protection, but for my mother's teaching that she taught me that. And she was concerned about my safety, and she didn't want me to get run down by an 18-wheeler truck or something like that and driving down the road. But you see, the point is that in verse 4, Solomon is talking about his children. He's exhorting his children, sons and daughters, this is the way my father taught me when I was a child. Here is what my father told me when I was a child. If you keep my instructions, you'll have a secure and useful life. You know, that's what Solomon is telling his children in verse 4. And that's the same thing that his father taught him when he was a child. And it says in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. It's interesting here that, first of all, we understand that wisdom is more than just the proper application of knowledge. You know, in the Scriptures, wisdom is the proper application of God's truth. We know God's truth, we learn God's truth, then we take that truth and apply it to our lives as believers. That's wisdom. That is the proper application of God's truth. And it's interesting in verse 5, that word get. He says, get wisdom and get understanding. Understanding here is a synonym for wisdom. But he says, get. The word get in the original Hebrew means a marriage. Interesting, isn't it? To put it another way, if you want to render that verse, get wisdom, marry wisdom. Marry understanding. And you know, a marriage is when a man and a woman come together, they make a lifetime commitment to one another, to be loyal to one another, to be faithful to one another. Well, Solomon is saying when it comes to wisdom, that we actually make wisdom so much a part of our life that it's in our minds, it's in our hearts, God's wisdom I'm talking about, it's in our minds and it's in our hearts to the point where we love it. To the point we treat wisdom like we would a spouse, God's wisdom, like we would a husband or a wife. We marry it. We make a lifetime commitment to God's wisdom. Do you see how important that is? You see when I said at the beginning of the message that how important it is to not only understand God's wisdom, but to apply that wisdom to our lives as believers, you see. And that's what Solomon is trying to get across to his children. Get wisdom, get understanding, make a lifetime commitment to wisdom and its application. And he also says in verse 5, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Decline means turn away. My dear sons and daughters, do not turn away from what I'm teaching you. Absorb it. Believe it, apply it, live it. Isn't that what we're supposed to do with the truth found in the Scriptures? We take it, apply it, live it. And Solomon is taking that further in verse 5, or in verse 6. He says that we are supposed to actually love God's wisdom. Verse 6 says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now, in verses 6 through 9, before we move on into verse 6, verses 6 through 9, wisdom is referred to in the feminine as she and her. Now, normally we think of wisdom as an idea or a concept. We call it it, you know. Wisdom is not a person. It's an idea or a concept. We call it it. But in this particular case, Solomon is referring to wisdom in the feminine as she and her. And I was thinking, you know, why is that? What's going on? You know, I get curious about things in the Scriptures. And I'm trying to figure out, well, why is Solomon referring to wisdom in the feminine as a, you know, referring to her as a woman? You know, that's what Solomon is doing. And I looked around, I searched around, checked some commentaries, checked some, study Bibles, and then did this, did that, talked to Giddy. I couldn't nail anything down as to why that. And I started thinking. And if you go back to Proverbs chapter 31, you remember in that chapter that it talks about the virtuous woman, that she is prized above all things, that she is a treasure not only to her husband, to her family. The virtuous woman. And the virtuous woman in a family is so important. The husband may be the head of the family, but the wife, the virtuous woman, plays a major role, an important role in the family. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's what Solomon's talking about. Maybe that's what Solomon's referring to when he calls wisdom she. He's referring to her, to wisdom as a her, as a woman, as a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Now, of course, that's just speculation on my part. Because, you know, the text really doesn't indicate why Solomon is referring to wisdom in the feminine. However, you know, there may be some more speculations you may have. And if you want to share those with me about this, this interesting fact in the scriptures, I'd certainly be glad to hear it. But in any case, in verse 6, we see that wisdom is a human expression of affection and love for a spiritual truth. It's fascinating. It's interesting. We're supposed to make God's wisdom so much a part of our lives that we love wisdom. We actually love it. We have an affection for God's wisdom. And wisdom in verse 6 is almost like a human being. She should be loved and embraced. That's what Solomon's saying. And you embrace your wife, you embrace your, if you embrace your mother, and you know, in this particular case in verse 6, it's almost as Solomon is speaking about wisdom as a person and not a thing. That we should love her and embrace her and make wisdom so much a part of our lives that it's in our hearts and in our thinking and in our minds and everything we say, everything we do, everywhere we go. That God's wisdom should be that important in our lives. But Solomon continues to verse 7. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The principal thing here of Solomon is saying, make wisdom the supreme value in your life. Make God's wisdom the most valuable of all your possessions. And he says in verse 7, with all thy getting, get understanding. Or in all you acquire, acquire understanding. I found out another rendering to that was, though it cost you all that you have, get understanding. Get God's wisdom. Fascinating, isn't it? That wisdom is more important than all the possessions you and I have. God's wisdom is more important than the houses we live in, the cars we have, the bank accounts, the 401ks, the IRAs, the savings account. You know, God's wisdom is more important than those things. That's amazing, isn't it? And wisdom in Solomon is speaking in verse 7, as a wisdom is a treasure more important than any material possession in the world that you and I possess, and you and I can see, that you and I, you may say, well, Earl, you know, if I had $100 billion, I'd be in the pink then. Well, brother, sister in Christ, you should pursue something that's more important than $100 billion, and that's God's wisdom, the wisdom of God. And you know, one of the most pathetic things I've seen, you know, in life, you know, I've seen people who have all these possessions, that have all these riches, that have all this power, but they don't have wisdom. They don't have wisdom. It's tragic, isn't it? As a result of that, their lives are ruined. Their lives they're a mess, you know? And they don't exercise just common sense wisdom, much less God's wisdom. And, you know, their lives it's a complete mess. I've seen Christians fall into that trap of materialism. We must guard against that. That in spite of all the things that we have, in spite of all the things that we own, in spite of all the nice things that God has given us to possess, His wisdom is the most important thing. It's the most important one. The most important possession that you and I can have as believers. In verse 8, the psalmist continues in his exaltation of wisdom in verse 8. He says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So we are to exalt wisdom and embrace her. The word exalt here means to prize highly or to highly prize. Embrace means to hold wisdom close to you. Hold God's wisdom close to you. And what will happen if we exalt and embrace wisdom? Well, wisdom, we will be honored if we exalt her, and if we embrace her, if we exalt wisdom, we'll be promoted. If we embrace wisdom, we'll be honored. You know, it's interesting. You've probably noticed this along with me that, you know, the Christian men and women that I like, that I admire, who have a lot of spiritual wisdom, have you ever noticed that these people are spoken of with such love and affection that they are esteemed and honored among God's people? Mainly because they have that wisdom. There's some of you tonight sitting looking at me, and you have that wisdom. You have the wisdom of God. And people notice that, and they'll honor you. They'll esteem you and love you, not because of anything that you try to do to get their love or to get them to esteem you. It's the way that you conduct your life, the way you behave, the way you use God's wisdom, the way you apply it to your life. People notice that in your life, and they'll esteem you for it. They'll love you for it. And Solomon doesn't mention this in the text, but think of the example that believers who have God's spiritual wisdom are showing other people. What an example that is. But Solomon says in verse 9, it says, "She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." As a result of exalting wisdom, we will have ornaments of grace. That is, a wreath of gracefulness was the rendering I saw. A wreath of gracefulness. I've never heard that expression, gracefulness, used in that way before. It also says in verse 9 that a crown of glory, or in this case, a crown of beauty. A crown of beauty. It reminds me of that verse in Proverbs chapter 4, or chapter 12, verse 4, when it says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." A virtuous woman makes her husband look good. I mean, you know, if you want to put it like that. But we see here, as a result of exalting wisdom, we will have ornaments of grace and a crown of glory. You know, that if we have God's wisdom permeating our minds, permeating our hearts, being such a vital and close part of our lives, that people are going to notice that. And, you know, people, they come up with interesting expressions to describe other people. And sometimes I look at people, Christians who have wisdom, and I consider those people graceful. Graceful. They wear a wreath of gracefulness about them. You know, God's wisdom is such an important part of their lives that you can see it on the outside. But finally, in verse 10, the last verse, Solomon is exhorting his son. He says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." It seems like in verse 10 that Solomon is making an emotional appeal to his children, to his son. "Son, hear my words. Hear my teachings. Listen to them. Please listen to them. Heed them, what I'm trying to tell you." And if you and I as believers, if we heed and practice the wisdom of God, we will have a long life filled with God's blessings. You know, that's a wonderful thought to end this part of this chapter. And we'll continue on in our study in Proverbs next time. And I believe that Brother Michael has got the prayer request for tonight.